around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here today, and we greet you in the risen name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and praise God to be our soon coming King. Jesus will come again. That's our blessed hope, that he will come back to this earth. He will set up his kingdom in the earth. He will reign for 1,000 years. And as the old gospel song says, we'll have no tempter then. Why? Satan will be in the bottomless pit. Of course, it wouldn't affect you and I either way, because we're going to be immortal. There'll be no element of corruption within us. There'll be nothing in us for Satan to appeal to. But the natural born beings that'll be here on the earth during that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, when Christ is Satan is released out of the bottomless pit, he will come upon the breath of the earth. And sadly, there'll be those that will cast their lot with him as he tries to lead this great rebellion against Jehovah in Jerusalem. Again, that is not applicable to those who have glorified bodies. That corruption, that mortality will have been removed and negated in its entirety. This is why you want to be a blood-bought, born-again child of God, to receive all the full blessings and benefits of being redeemed, washed in the precious, precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Let me remind you again of our revival meeting in Hickory, North Carolina, at the Hickory Metro Convention Center. Hickory Metro Convention Center. That's going to be this September. We'll register Thursday evening or Friday morning, either one. But the services will be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That'll be the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Two services each morning, and then a service each night. And then on Sunday morning, we will conclude. As always, I'll be ministering the Word of God and serving communion. And we just anticipate a great, great time in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the actual dates of the meeting are Friday the 20th, Saturday the 21st, Sunday the 22nd, but we'll be coming in there and setting up on Thursday afternoon. If you want to come early, fine. I'm sure my wife, my daughter, someone will be there to help you sign in. We want everyone to come and bring someone with you, and I would be much grateful and thankful if you would call us, 704-538-8060, or email us from our website. There's a place up there, contact us, and just tell us how many is going to be in your party, or drop us a note in the mail and say, we're coming, and I'm bringing four or five people with me. I pray that you will come. This is a pivotal year, 2024, because of the election. Only God knows the future. Our objective is to be prepared for what God is going to do. Amen. I want to go back today here to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. We left this teaching weeks ago because of what was transpiring in the Middle East. But we're speaking about redemption, retribution, and reward. Redemption, retribution, and reward. And this 37th Psalm is a very prophetic psalm, to say the least. But I want to go back today for just a moment. We left off yesterday in Psalms 37, verse 20, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. That is just tells you the power of God. These enemies, they shall be consumed into smoke, shall they consume away. One Hebrew translation reads this way, but the wicked will die. The Lord's enemies are like flowers in a field. They will disappear like unto smoke. In general, just as quickly as smoke ascends upward, it quickly disappears into the air. And that's how it will be with the wicked. They'll be here, and then they'll be gone. God in his sovereignty is going to pluck up everything that is offensive and lawless in his kingdom. You and I have no idea of the gravity, the extent, how invasive this will be, but it will be carried out by God. I'm close to getting the book finished up, where we talk about the literal physical coming of the Lord, his second advent, the judgment of the nations, the Bema seat where you and I will stand before God as believers and be judged accordingly. And then we talk about the great white throne judgment when the wicked dead will be raised and stand before God Almighty. And then there'll be a cremation, a fiery holocaust of this present world, earth as we know it. And then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. That is what will go into eternity. And we're trying to put this in writing to try to help everyone that we can. So hopefully here very soon, I'll have this finished up and it be available to you in a book form. I said years ago I was not going to write another book, but I just felt such a need for people to have an understanding of how things are going to unfold. And while I'm thinking about it, there's a dear brother that I helped with a little bit on a chart. And if you could re-email that to me at our website, I would be appreciative for that. I had that chart that you designed in my office somewhere, but sometimes things get misplaced at my office, to say the least. But I would like to possibly add that into the book at the printing, so people can have a small chart to see. And my friend, my brother, if you'll just contact me again, because you did a wonderful job in laying that out and be a great blessing to a lot of people, hopefully. I want to go back now to verse 21, Psalms 37, verse 21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. When I read that, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, this speaks to the United States government. Knowing that our debt, our national debt, is into the scores of trillions of dollars, we know they will never repay that debt. Now, there's already work on a digital currency, central bank digital currency, CBDC, central bank digital currency. This coming March will be 2 full years since Joe Biden signed Executive Order 14067. That executive order was about the research and the study implementing a digital currency. But when you take 1, 4, 0, 6, and 7, and you add that up, the aggregate, is 18, or three sixes. And of course, 18 in biblical numerology speaks of bondage. The woman that was bound 18 years, she was bound over, she could not stand up. Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham. She was in covenant with God, but she was crippled by this infirmity. Luke chapter 13, verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. So 18 symbolizes in biblical numerology bondage, being bound by something. And this is why they're coming out with this digital currency. They want to do away with cash. In 2026, it is the law that they have a kill switch on every automobile so they can stop your car when they desire. I was thinking the other day, if there was another purported outbreak of some kind of flu or SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome, something of that nature, and they didn't want people moving or traveling, they just shut off your car with this kill switch. And they don't even have to mandate no travel, et cetera, et cetera. You see what's happening? We're all in the net. And the net slowly but surely is closing. We're like the shrimp. We're still in the sea, but we're in the net and we don't know it. But we'll know when they draw the net into the boat. The shrimp are then out of the sea and they're captive. This is the same analogy God's going to do in his kingdom. There in Matthew chapter 13, the fishermen threw out this great net and it caught every kind that was possible. And then they brought it to the shore. They cast the bad away, and the good they put into vessels. This whole system is all about the mark of the beast. This whole system is scriptural. We're told there in Revelation 13, verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name or the number of the beast. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. My grandparents told me of the great outcry back in the 30s when they implemented the Social Security number. They cried aloud across America. This was the mark of the beast. So on the original Social Security card, it said, not for identification purposes, but for taxes only. Needless to say, that is your ID number today. You even get a number before you leave the hospital when your child is born. When my first child was born, Terica, in 1986, I did not get a Social Security card at the hospital. 3 years later, when my oldest son was born, Wesley, they gave us a Social Security card in hand before we left the hospital. Now, this has all been 35 to 40 years ago. It's a process. It's taking place. You and I need to be scriptural literate. We need to understand what's going on, what's taking place. Because all of this is coming. All of this is coming down the pike. You must be aware. You must be sober concerning all of these things. Now, I know most of you believe you're going to be out of here. I maybe shouldn't say most of you. Some of you believe you'll be out of here. But that's not scriptural. I do believe in a rapture. But I do not believe it's pre-tribulation. I believe it's post-tribulation and before the wrath of God. But my point is this. Things are becoming more controlling by the day. If they can digitally control your money, digitally control your car with a kill switch, this is all about controlling humanity. This is the enemy. This is Satan to control our lives. He wants us all to be in some type of bondage. And sadly, our government is facilitating, fostering, bringing so many of these things to fruition. Your cell phone is being tracked. They watch everything that we do. And it's corrupt at the end of the day. All this is coming. So David says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. That tells me America and our government is without doubt a very wicked government. It nauseates most of us when we turn the television on and we watch the magnitude of the corruptness. The corruptness is unimaginable. It is immeasurable. I wouldn't give you a dime for anyone in Washington, D.C. You say, well, you're crazy. You're judgmental. Listen to me closely. I'll be 69 years of age next month. 69 years of age. In all of my years, I've never watched our government get better. I've watched it get worse, and so have you. You have seen corruptness in the last 5 years like you've never seen before. And this is only what we know about. We don't know about the other things that are concealed. All the secretive operations around the world, the corruptness, money that cannot be accounted for, how the Pentagon fails every audit. They have no idea where equipment is, where money is. All of these operations around the world that are covert. You and I are paying for stuff. All of the corruptness of the people coming into our nation. How that children in New York City this past school year, 19,000 children could not get into the public school because of the multitude of the illegal immigrants. Now, none of them were vaccinated, but your children have to be vaccinated. This is the kind of corruptness that has permeated this nation. And if you say anything negative against it, you're an enemy of the state. You say anything against what's taking place, they see you as the problem. Folks, in general, the citizens of America are not the problem. It is the people that run the government. They're the ones that are the problem. They're the dishonest ones. All of this talk and innuendo and rumor about classified documents from Biden to Mike Pence to Donald Trump, all of these people have done things that are not right that we are aware of. But it is evident more and more every day there is a two-tiered justice system in the earth. And the world loves its own, and the world hates the Christian. It's what Jesus said would happen in the time of the end. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. I don't know how all this will unfold. None of us do. It could happen overnight. The economy collapses, the currency is changed, your accounts are seized, because it's all computer numbers. This is where this is going. They want to know all the transactions that everyone does. This is why we need to be prayerful, studious, asking God to help us. God, order my steps in your word. Psalms 119, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. That word dominion there means lordship or authority. Let no sin, let no iniquity, let no covetousness, don't allow any of these things, Lord, to have lordship or authority over my life. Keep me. And the way God will keep every one of us is by our spending time in his presence. As we seek the Lord, There's not enough seeking of the Lord today. Sadly, modern Christendom is weak. It is anemic. There's no depth. There's no breadth in most Christian lives today. So many people profess Christ, but they live wicked, ungodly lives. I watched a little segment on a Fox News break some weeks ago, and this coach was interim coach for, I think it was Michigan. And he's weeping, crying. He wanted to thank the Lord. He wanted to thank the Lord for the win, et cetera, et cetera. Then the next thing, F-bombs. This is the problem with Christianity today. And when I quote scriptures like 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I get castigated. Oh, you're being judgmental. I'm telling you, if you're unrighteous, God's word says you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. If you lie, you cheat, you steal, those things God is against. God is against that. I could go a little deeper right here. As Christians, you need to pay your bills. That's all I'm going to say about that. You need to have integrity. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Those who borrow, go buy stuff, and then don't pay it. The Word of God says, that's a wicked person. Now, we all, no doubt at times, have faced hardship. That's when you go and you say, can we work this out? Can we ameliorate this matter? Can we make this better? I've had a tragedy in my life. I've lost my job, whatever the case might be. There are people who fail and want to make it right. There are people who fail and don't care to make it right. The older I get, having clean hands and a pure heart means so much to me. And if you can't afford it, don't borrow it. Don't buy it. Leave it alone. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Look at the difference. Look at the difference. The wicked, he says, they borrow. They're not going to pay it back. But the righteous, they show mercy. They are forgiving. And they give. They're liberal in their giving. This shows you the difference in God's people and the world's people. Listen, this worldly system will get you. Do you hear me? This Babylonian corrupt system will get you. We're in the world. We are not of the world. We've all been done wrong terribly at different times in our lives about situations and circumstances. You can walk the walk and talk the talk, but because we're in the world and you have to have any kind of business dealings in the world in the end will hurt you. I witness dishonesty just about in every facet of life, from county tax assessors, deals at car dealerships. I know I worked at a car dealership for years. Especially in warranty. Because, see, the manufacturer's going to eat it. But I worked in the parts department. I saw guys do things that was just crooked as could be. And I'm thinking, my God, if it was like that 45 to 50 years ago, what is it like now? Because people seem like each generation keeps losing a measure of integrity. It doesn't matter to me what the matter is, what the circumstance is, what the situation is. I'm not going to lie to you. I try to keep myself from ever getting into a state and a place of compromise. If I don't get there, I don't have to worry about telling a lie. I don't have to worry about manipulating the truth. I don't have to disguise or do anything of that matter. Why? Because my hands are clean, my heart is pure. And as Jesus tarries, he's warned us. He's warned us. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because the world is becoming more sinful and more wicked by the day, if you're not careful, that will creep into your life. It will sully and soil and stain your wedding garment for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Don't become contaminated. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself pure. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the kingdom of God. Keep yourself as pure as you possibly can. You have to strive to do that. That's not always easy. It's not always easy. But those that are pure in heart, Jesus said, they're going to see me. They're going to be a part of me. And he knows our human fragility, our human weaknesses. He knows whether we're striving or contending or whether we're just being slothful. There's a lot of slothfulness in Christianity today. Are you devoted to the Scriptures, the Word of God? Do you have a devoted prayer life? Do you seek to walk in the Spirit? Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you desirous to be led by the Holy Spirit of God to keep you from ever becoming a wicked person? This is the signs of the time. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. They knew when they borrowed it, they weren't going to repay it. That's premeditation. That's predetermined. And the sight of God. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. This is a fact. This is a fact through the nature of God himself. If God lives in you, if God abides in you, you will always show mercy. You don't take an axe and chop it off, sever it. You show mercy because you've been shown mercy. And Christ's nature living and abiding in you, your nature then is to show mercy. And then also couple that with giving, being generous. You see, those are the attributes of the righteous. The righteous show mercy, and the righteous always give. More than others, or maybe less than others. But nevertheless, the righteous give. Thus the question. Are you righteous? What are the fruits of your righteousness? Mercy and giving. That is the fruit. That is the manifestation that the Spirit of Christ lives in you. You love God. You love people. And I know, how well I know, people can make a Christian nauseated at their behavior, who they are, what they are. But nevertheless, we strive to keep our hands clean and our hearts pure. The Lord loves us. But when we show mercy, and we're generous in our giving, that love, I believe, is compounded and enhanced. Why? Because that is the nature of God. Sadly, many misunderstand God's nature. But the God of mercy, the God of love, the God of grace is also a God of wrath and a God of anger. One day, God is going to vent his anger against an ungodly, wicked, and sinful world. I know people don't like to think about that. They don't like to talk about that. But Psalm 7:11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God is angry with Washington, D.C.? Do you think God is angry with our government? God is angry with the wicked every day. When people cheat, when people are dishonest, when people try to camouflage their wickedness. Listen, God knows more about every one of us than we know about ourselves. If God numbers your hair on your head every day, who but God can know that? Who but God can do that? He knows if there's something in your body that's detrimental to you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. Why do men seek to deceive God? The first manhunt was in the Garden of Eden. And God said, "Where art thou? Where are you?" He knew where they were. Adam said, "We hid ourselves." Why did you hide yourself, Adam? Sin. Sin. We were naked, so we hid ourselves. See, there was no shame. There was no disgrace whatsoever because they were covered in the righteousness of God. It was pure. It was holy. There was nothing perverted in that manner. And they tilled. That's when the Hebrew says to keep the garden. They tilled the garden. They kept it. They nurtured it. But they were without sin. But once they sinned, their eyes were opened. And they saw the wrong. That was the lie of Satan. You'll become like God. They became like God in the sense they now knew both good and evil. They never knew anything but good before then. But then it became perverted and evil. And then, bam, Cain kills Abel. And we've been on a trajectory that's unimaginable. And the things that go on in the earth right now are very disturbing, to say the least. And this is why you and I must pray and seek the counsel of God. Verse 22, Psalms 37:22. For such as be blessed of him, the Lord, shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. This is why I told you this 37th Psalm speaks so much about the meek, the righteous, the redeemed, inheriting the earth. This is all about Christ coming back to the earth. In the last 2 years, I have felt the need to emphasize, get your focus on Christ coming back to planet earth. This emphasis about being raptured and going to heaven, that's not the right perspective. That is not the correct disposition scripturally or spiritually for anyone to be in. We need to understand Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to the earth and to reign. Yes, it is the blessed hope, and I believe in that. That's the word of God. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Christ Jesus. But where is he coming? He's coming here to the earth. He's going to reign in the earth. He's going to rule in the earth. David assures the believer, Their inheritance will be the earth, and those who are cursed of him shall be cut off from the earth forever. Let me see if I can find it. I think it's Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 10. When Jesus comes back to the earth, we can't imagine how glorious it will be. Zechariah 3, verse 10, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree." That is so beautiful. Can you imagine that? Every man his neighbor. Everyone will be your neighbor. We will sit under the vine tree and under the fig tree, the grapevine, the fig tree. What that means, there's going to be harmony. There'll still be the nationalities in the earth. I believe that. And I believe there will remain borders in the earth, just like they are now. Except, sadly, there's a cheating aspect over in the Middle East relative to Israel. They're supposed to own from the Nile over to the river Euphrates, according to Genesis chapter 15. They're going to get that land back. It will be theirs. But my point is the fellowship and the harmony. I believe, I know you may think I'm crazy. I believe there will be Italians that will still fix Italian food, and Mexicans fix Mexican food, and Chinese fix Chinese food. We will all be able to commingle and mix and fellowship, even the different culture. Now, that is not that meaningful to you and I in glorified bodies, but for the natural beings, that will mean a lot to have peace and tranquility and fellowshipping under the vine and under the fig tree. To the mortal ones, that'll mean so much. But you and I, the redeemed, will be immortal, incorruptible. We will be different. It's hard to imagine not having a bad thought, a bad feeling, a bad emotion, a bad temper, because all of that boils around our carnality, our humanity, and that will be dissolved, and that we have a glorified body. There in Zechariah, he talks about the children running and playing in the street. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 5, "And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof." That's dangerous for children to play in the streets today, isn't it? Why? Child trafficking, abduction, etc., etc. But there's coming a day, hallelujah, when the streets of the city, this is specifically speaking of Jerusalem, "The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof." Be a marvelous, glorious time in the earth. And yet, the earth will have not been perfected. Why? Because according to Zechariah 14, if people don't keep the Feast of Tabernacles, God will send plague and famine and drought, pestilences. He will rule with a rod of iron. He will slay people with the breath of his mouth. I mean, I know some of this is hard to grasp and hard to understand, but it is the Word of God. All this will change in that day. Can you imagine 1,000 years of peace in the earth, no war? Let me share this from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4. "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity He will argue, reprove with equity. It'll be so just. It's unfathomable. For the meek of the earth, he will argue with equity. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That word slay there in the Hebrew means kill. See, death will still reign during that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. The last enemy to be destroyed, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, is death. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 through 26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. So whether God has governmental executioners or himself or whatever the case, I don't know all those things. But he said he would slay the wicked. He's going to set up this government that is, we don't understand it because we've never had a government like that. You know, the truth is, let's be honest, all government is corrupt. I don't care what town you live in, what city you live in, what state you live in, there is corruptness in all of it. I don't care if there's not but 100 people in your little town. I promise you, there's misdeeds. I promise you, there are misdeeds. There were things they wouldn't want the populace to know that they've said or done or how they've executed business. They wouldn't want you to know why. Corruptness. That's the sin nature. Corruptness. But it is there, whether we want to admit it or not. Getting back to Psalms 37:22, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. That is a futuristic prophecy concerning the wheat and the tares, according to Matthew 13, verses 40 and 41. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world, or the end of this age as we know it. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, or them which are lawless. There's only one harvest. There's only one second coming of Christ. And when he comes, he's going to deal with all the ungodliness and wickedness in the earth. Now, how long it will take him to do all of this, I cannot put a time frame on that. That's why I'm writing this book, trying to put these things together to try to give us an idea of some of these things. But he's going to take the wicked out of the earth. The wicked are not going to inherit the earth. The day of the wicked is coming when God's going to judge them and judge them so harshly. They're not going to believe the harshness of God's judgment in the earth. Proverbs 10, verse 30. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. They are not going to remain inhabitants of this earth. David says that. Solomon said that in Proverbs. Jesus said that. John the Baptist said that. They all taught the same fundamental doctrine that the wicked are not going to inhabit the earth, but they're going to be cut off from the earth. Matthew 13. Verses 49 and 50. So shall it be at the end of the world, or the end of the age. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. That word gnashing there in the Greek means the grinding of teeth. The pain will be so severe, men will grind their teeth. John the Baptist preached the same message. Matthew 3:11-12, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he it is who's coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge the floor and gather the wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Wheat, chaff. Wheat, tares. Wheat goes into the garner, goes into the granary, goes into the bin. The chaff are scattered. They're burned with unquenchable fire. Again, John the Baptist teaches the same identical doctrine that Christ taught. This is why the synchronous of the scriptures are so replete in everything. They may say it a little different, but it's all the same. See, David says, they're going to be cursed, the wicked. They're going to be cut off. They're going to be cut off. There in Isaiah 11, verse 4, he's going to slay the wicked with the lips of his mouth. Just speak the word. We have so much to look forward to. You and I have so much to look forward to in the coming days. I cannot overly encourage you enough. Live right. Seek to live a godly, Christian, devoted life unto Christ, and your inheritance will be unbelievable. Your inheritance, my friend, will be unbelievable. But God is going to remove the wicked from the earth. Why? So that you and I can have a goodly, godly inheritance. I read the other day where a lot of congressmen, women, the younger ones are saying they're not going to run again. Only time will tell. But they begin to understand the place is so corrupt, you can't fix it. You can't fix it. Now, God can fix it. God can do anything. God can change everything. God can. Man can't. You know, I was thinking the other day, we probably haven't had an honest election in 50 years, maybe 75 years. Everything is soiled and sullied and contaminated today because of the corruptness of men. They just struggle to do that which is right because their hearts are evil. Their hearts are iniquitous. Their minds are evil. They cheat. They lie. They steal. They sit before the congressional hearings and the halls of Congress, and they lie. And the congressmen and the senators know they're being lied to, but it doesn't make any difference anymore because it's all so corrupt, it doesn't matter. You're not going to fix it. And don't accuse me of discouraging people to vote. I'm just telling you, this is an evil generation. And you know what discourages me, and I'm being honest here, is everybody's wanting a sign. They want a prophetic word or utterance. Jesus said an evil and adulterous generation keeps seeking for signs. If God didn't give us another sign the rest of our lives, we have the scriptures. We have the word of Almighty God. We have the Bible. We have the truth right here. This is the word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I don't need any more signs. You shouldn't need any more signs. We have the Bible. Nevertheless, signs are indicators where we are, and the signs of the times are telling us we're in bad, bad, bad trouble. But I'm not seeking for a sign. I just recognize the signs of the time, and so should you. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envyings. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Paul starts off there, Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep. If you knew the time, Paul said, if you understood and knew the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's the time to wake up. It's the time to be sober. It's a time to be vigilant. We have the scriptures. The scriptures are replete in every sense of the word. Totally complete. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. We should be able to look and know we're in the time of the end. Every day brings us a day closer to the revelation and the manifestation of the Antichrist and also the coming of Jesus Christ. Every day gets us a day closer to both of those events. The Antichrist will be revealed before Jesus Christ returns. How do I know? 2 Thessalonians 2:1. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What day shall not come? 1, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, you will see the revelation of the Antichrist. You will see this man. Oh, I know what some of them are saying and thinking. We're not going to be here. We're not going to see that. That's not what Paul said. Paul is clear. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That is the rapture. That is the coming of the Lord. That's 1. 2 Thessalonians 2:1. That's what 1 says. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. That day shall not come. That day shall not come. What day? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That is plain as it can be, right there in the scriptures. Right there. God is doing everything he can to prepare us. He's given us the truth. You know what? The older I get, the more I understand how truth sets men free. When you don't know the truth about something, you make a bad decision. You make a flawed decision. You may even make a corrupt decision because you've been given corrupted advice or corrupted knowledge. And many times you're given that to keep you from knowing the truth. This is why we've got to get closer to the Lord. You've got to strive. You've got to labor. You have got to press in. You've got to agonize. This is eternal life with Christ or without him. Which will it be for you? Are you a Sunday Christian? Or are you a Christian 7 days out of the week? Do you pray on Thursday like you should on Sundays? Do you pray on Monday like you should on Sunday? We should be devoted and committed to Christ. Listen, I want to make it, and I pray that's your heart. You want to make it. You remember several years ago all the corruptness we witnessed up there at Liberty University in Virginia. Jerry Falwell would freak out if he knew what had gone on in that institution. But see, men become corrupt. And because men become corrupt, they are purveyors of corruptness. Oh, Jude said, my little children, keep yourselves unspotted from this world. Don't let the world spot your wedding garment. Don't let the world soil your wedding garment. He's going to present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without a blemish. That's the kind of church Christ is going to present to himself. It's not going to be easy, but I believe the redeemed, the righteous, the blood-bought, the church triumphant is going to strive to enter in at the end of the day. Listen, we serve a loving God, but I'll say it till I die. There's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. Are you going to gain heaven? Are you going to miss the kingdom of God that'll be for all eternity? Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to remain steadfast, unmovable? Or are you going to be flip-flopping? Let us be ready when Christ returns. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for loving us. I thank you for everything that you do for this ministry. I value your love and your prayers. And may God watch over you and your family the coming days. God bless you. Have a great week. I'll see you next Monday in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.